This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The MLB trade deadline is 4 o'clock on Friday. So we're at 11 o'clock Eastern as of right now. That's 2 days. That's 48 hours plus 5 hours, 53 hours from now, the MLB trade deadline will have hit, and teams are going to have to work that much harder through waivers to be able to get players to help them make playoff runs if that is the case. Here to give us some insight on exactly what will or won't come down over the next 53 hours is one of the best baseball insiders we know. Joining the show is Odyssey MLB Insider and Major League Baseball Network Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John Heyman joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, JH?
Good. How are you, Jody?
Good. I tried to put it in a time perspective for our listeners that we still got 53 hours to go, but these hours come and go pretty darn quickly. Give us your read on the run-up to the trade deadline. The deals that we've seen so far, have they surprised you? Are they deals that made sense? Did something jump off the page that you didn't see coming? How would you describe the run-up to the last couple of days before the trade deadline?
Well, I would say you'd have to be surprised a little bit by the Padres getting another super utility guy in Adam Frazier. At least that's what they're calling him. They already had Profar and Kim in that role, and they have a lot of depth to begin with in positional front. So a little bit of a surprise, but it's never a surprise when A.J. Preller makes a big deal. He was the most aggressive last trade deadline, getting Clevinger, and the most aggressive by far in the winter. So, I mean, that's just his MO. That's the way the Padres operate, and I guess we should never be shocked by what he does.
If you are a Padre fan, you have to be happy because, to use another poker analogy, be the second poker analogy for me today, they do push all their chips into the middle of the table. The Padres are in a win-now mode and going for it all. Yet they find themselves in third place in the NL West. Do you think that they will improve? Do you think that they can win that division? Are they going to catch either the Giants or the Dodgers? What has A.J. Preller's aggression got him with 50 games to go?
Well, he's got a great team. That's one. I don't think they're going to win that division. I could be wrong, but I don't think the Giants are a fluke. I've seen the odds, and I'm not a betting man, but if I'm playing the odds, I would go with the Giants at this point. I think they're really good. I mean, I don't think after 100 games we're talking about a fluke situation. So that would be my read on it. That said, the Padres are very good. I'd anticipate them being in a one-game playoff, which is, of course, dicey, particularly if you're going to be playing against a Gausman or a Bueller, or you're going to be facing some great pitcher in that playoff. But, you know, I just admire the Padres' MO. I've got to give them credit. At the moment, anyway, their payroll is higher than the Yankees' payroll. So we never thought we'd say that or see that in any way.
Yeah, credit to the Padres for their aggressiveness. All right, let's stay in that West and mention those San Francisco Giants who, yes, the fluke consideration must be gone. It's got to be done by now, even if you believed it and or you had the Giants nowhere competing in that division this year. Guilty as charged. They are for real, and they have done what they've done and should get credit for it. Are they going to rest on their laurels, though, that they have the best record in baseball and they've shocked the world with what they've done? And they've had guys like Buster Posey reemerge as one of the best catchers in the game, and Crawford, their shortstop, playing all-star level ball. Are they going to say, yeah, why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Or do you think they will make an aggressive move like the Padres here in the next couple of days to make sure they stay atop the NL West?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to make an aggressive move. You know, I mean, they see the situation that they're in. They know they're really good at this point, but why not try to be better? So they've certainly been connected to Marte from the Marlins, who will be dealt. I do believe the Giants have the type of prospects to possibly get that deal done. You know, we've heard Houston and the Yankees at least are in that as well. But, you know, I wouldn't bet against the Giants there. And we know that they're in the Scherzer mix, which is, at this point, the most interesting story going. The whole Mets sale, you know, they were on dual paths for about 3 days, and now we know what path they're on. They're in sell mode, and, you know, Max Scherzer is seen as by far the most impactful player or pitcher out there. And, you know, he's gone from a 5% chance to be traded to probably a 90% chance. And I only leave that extra 10% out because he's got the no trade, and he can decline deals. But they're in a much better situation than, let's say, the Tigers were a few years ago with Verlander, where folks thought he was overpaid and were skeptical and didn't realize that Verlander was getting a second wind in his career. And Houston took advantage and helped them win the World Series. There were other reasons they won, as we know by now, but certainly the Verlander pickup was a major boon, and they wouldn't have won without him. Right now everybody's looking at pitching, and feels like the pitching is going to be overpays, and the position players, so many star position players on the market, and there just isn't a real calling for them at this point. I mean, we may see guys that we consider superstars like Story and Bryant and Baez going for what will look like a song, or perhaps they'll even be kept just for the draft choice at this point. They're not coveted. You know, to me, it's might be worth taking a flyer on one of these guys that we know has been great, and just because there just isn't a need in terms of, supply and demand for them at this point, might be good to buy low and try to pick up a Story or a Bryant or a Baez. I mean, Gallo, there are about 10 real stars or position players who are out there on the trade market.
You did a great job of explaining the difference in supply and demand between pitching and the regular everyday players. If overpays is what it's going to take to get pitching, Max Scherzer's got to be the top available guy. Oh, there's only one. How many Cy Youngs? 2, 3 championships? Yeah, he's kind of done it all. And is still at the top of his game right now. What is Washington going to be able to get? How high is high? Even though it is purely as a rental, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and you know his agent is going to put him in the best position to cash again this upcoming offseason. What are the Nats going to be able to get for him if he okays the trade to whatever trade is willing to meet their price?
Well, right now with the situation such as it is with the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants, among many others known to be in the mix, those are his preferred teams. You know, I think that this should be one of the rare cases where someone gives up a big-time prospect. We saw it with Gleyber Torres traded for Chapman, a rental, just like Scherzer is. And teams do not like to give up big prospects. But, I mean, if you're the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, and you think he's going to one of your two main competitors, I think you're going to be have some incentive to give up a big prospect. And so I think that the Nats are going to make a big deal for a guy that absolutely needs to be traded at this point.
Which team is best suited to be able to come up with that prospect or prospects to be able to get their hands on Scherzer, San Diego, San Francisco, or L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I think all three teams have good enough prospects to get it done. I would maybe even look more at who's more motivated. You know, I mean, obviously AJ Preller, nobody's more aggressive than him. But in this case, we got to figure Trevor Bauer is probably not going to be seen for the rest of the year, at least not in a Dodger uniform. I'm not prejudging that case, but it certainly doesn't look good at the moment. And you hear that the teammates don't want him back, and the fans probably don't want him back, and he's probably gone for the year, just being realistic. I got to think the motivation is really high for the Dodgers, and they do have some very good players, young players to trade.
All right, and John Heyman, our MLB insider for Odyssey, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Insider, making the insider call for us. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smart and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. All right, I have a couple more questions for you on trades that haven't happened yet. But I got to ask you about one that did happen yesterday. A trade between the Mariners and Astros. They're doing battle in the AL West. They're playing each other, as a matter of fact. And the Mariners traded their closer, Kendall Graveman, to the Astros. It didn't figure for me. I didn't understand it. Their general manager said afterwards, well, there are more trades to come. And when all is said and done, maybe we'll be able to explain to you what we were thinking. I understand Abraham Toro, the young infielder that the Mariners got, is someone they like a lot, but he hasn't proven himself to be a everyday, even star potential infielder. What was Seattle thinking in giving up their closer with a sub-1 ERA?
You don't understand it. I don't understand it. And most importantly, their players do not understand it. I mean, I heard there were players in tears over this trade. I mean, this team had the best mojo. I mean, I don't think it's the best team. Their run differential is about a negative 50. But, I mean, they're on a great run. They'd won 4 in a row. They had that stirring comeback against the Astros, the team you just referenced. And they did not deserve this. They deserved some good news. And Graveman has been the most unhittable closer in the game with a whip of about 0.6, an ERA about 0.8. To send this message was absolutely not the right thing to do. You know, we can all appreciate analytics, and certainly Jerry DePoto, their GM, is big into analytics. But, I mean, he's one of the rare GMs now that is not just cut from that Ivy League, standard that it seems to be the case where most of the GMs are Ivy Leaguers. He is a former major league player who should understand about the club as well as the analytics. Just very poorly timed trade. Makes no sense to me. And, may have killed their mojo. I mean, that's the best thing they had going for them. They had a great team concept that was banding together, and why interrupt that and trade your closer? To me, that's, and it's particularly for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 2 decades. Very, very short-sighted, make any sense.
I'm glad that you didn't understand it because I didn't understand it, so I thought it was me. But it's not me. It's the general manager of the Mariners who didn't understand what he was doing. But he says we're all going to understand by the time we get to the trade deadline.
Yeah. As they say, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's me, exactly. I do want to ask you about one specific division. I already asked you about the NL Central. How about the NL East? The Mets are on top as of right now, although they've got major pitching issues. They are getting a couple of guys back and healthy, and Conforto and McNeil, which will help some with their bats because their offense has been pretty putrid all year long. But they've got the lead in that division. The Phillies are a 500 team. The Braves are right around a 500 team, one game below, even though they beat up on the Mets last night. Someone has to win that division. I think the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets can all claim that they believe they can win that division. You mentioned how all the teams in the NL West are watching each other and competing against each other to add a big piece. How are the three teams in the NL East, even though they are well below the three teams in the NL West, how are they all going to play against each other? Will aggressiveness leading up to the trade deadline make the difference in whoever's going to win that division and get a spot in the playoffs?
Yeah, could we have clarity now? The Mets are going for it, as we know. We knew that forever, but the Braves, while they traded for Peterson early, it appeared they could have gone either way, and they are clearly going to go for it, and the Phillies are going to be aggressive. They said that, and they almost made a deal yesterday, and they are going to make some deals for some pitching, particularly relief pitching, certainly a starter as well. So the Nats, we know they're a seller now, not only a seller, but a big seller. So, I mean, the Braves are an interesting one to me. I mean, they lost their best player, Acuna, their best pitcher, Soroka. Ozuna is probably gone for the year. The catcher has been injured for the year. They have another pitcher who hurt himself in a fit, and he's been out, and they're still hanging around. So they're a buyer. We'll see how aggressive they'll be, but they are a buyer. The Phillies right there with them are going to be an aggressive buyer. They hired Dave Dombrowski. He doesn't come in to rebuild. You know, they have the pieces to get it done, but, you know, they've got some issues. Obviously, as we know, their fielding is terrible and their bullpen is even worse. But they can really help themselves with some trades. That said, I think it's fair to say that the Mets, with the lead, are the favorite. You know, their pitching is very good, and presuming DeGrom comes back, you know, they're the clear favorite, I think.
Yeah, they got to get DeGrom healthy. If they do, they are the favorite because of where they are in the standings, but that would certainly solidify that position. All right, one last baseball question for you. Non-trade deadline related. Sticky stuff on pitchers' fingers. MLB took the stance that they did at the beginning of the year, that they knew that teams were complaining about it, hitters were complaining about it, the pitchers were using extra stuff to get a better grip. They certainly sent a memo out in spring training. They're going to be on the lookout for it. Yet they allowed the pitchers to use all this stuff for the first several months of the season. The rumblings were getting loud again behind the scenes. So they came out with a statement that they're going to crack down and they're going to give their umpires latitude to throw guys out of games. And it's going to include a 10-game suspension for the players where the team cannot replace the players, so they'd be hurting their team. They gave the pitchers two solid weeks to get used to throwing without the junk before they decided to start to check them on the mound, both going off the field and on the field. They only caught one guy. Out of all that buildup, one person decided, or at least as per what Major League Baseball decided, there was enough evidence there to say, yes, he should have been tossed, and yes, he was suspended for 10 games. Did MLB get what it wanted out of this? Did they play this hand correctly, John? The offensive numbers have gone back up, and then pitchers have not been as dominant as they were prior to them cracking down on using more illicit stuff while they're out there on the mound. Did it work out the way that Rob Manfred thought it was going to work out or wanted it to work out?
Well, you said it, Joe. The offensive numbers have gone back up. There's been more action in the game. We've seen, boy, a lot of comebacks. A lot of teams, the Mets had two in a row where they had a six-run lead and blew it, and then they were down six, and they came back and won. And they're not the only team that's done that lately. You know, that was the objective. It wasn't to throw guys in the penalty box. And obviously, if it was to throw guys in the penalty box, it's been zero because basically they got one guy. And, you know, I think he's still appealing at Santiago, and that's it. But, I mean, the big picture was to get more offense in the game and to get more action. So I at this point, I think, you know, as much as we love to criticize MLB, you'd have to say it's a success.
JM, great stuff. Johnny Heyman here with us. Always a pleasure, my friend. Is your cell phone charged? Are you at 100%? Because I know you're going to be on it all day long.
I got a supercharger. All I have to do is, I have to say, I don't even know who makes it, but as soon as I plug it in, it moves from like 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. I got that going for me.
I got to get one of those.
I'm going to need it.
You will be living with that charger these next couple of days. John, always a pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Good talking to you, Jody.
That is John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.